G'day folks, my name's Tory Favreau. Welcome to another Think 2 Design podcast. We've got a real treat for you in the studio today. We have got a good friend of mine, recently published author, Pete Williams. How are you doing?
Really well, mate. Thank you very much for having me.
No problems at all. Pete, your story isn't an amazing one. That's why we're going to head off doing what talking about what you're doing today. I've got the book in my hand and it's signed to me. This is a good thing. But it's called How to Turn Your Million-Dollar Idea into Reality from the Man Who Sold the MCG. And the man is sitting on the couch across from me. So tell us about your story and why people should get this book.
Okay, well, I guess we'll start with the story, sort of where it all started and how it all came to be. A few years ago when I was 21, I came across a book called The 1 Minute Millionaire. In that, it told a story of a gentleman in Manhattan, or actually New Jersey to be more correct, up in America. He actually bought all the timber that was part of the walkway of the Brooklyn Bridge. The bridge was under redevelopment, and he had a bright idea to actually buy the timber, make little certificates up with the history of the bridge, piece of the timber, and turn around and sell them off as collectibles. Loved that idea myself, thought, oh, it's gold, how can I do that here in Australia? Started thinking what was happening in Australia that I could actually snaffle up and do something similar. The MCG had just started its redevelopment for the Commonwealth Games we had here in Melbourne not so long ago. The MCG is basically Australia's version of Yankee Stadium.
It's probably absolutely
the best way to describe it.
Yes.
And the Ponsford Stand, which is one of the stands at the ground, was just getting demolished. And I made a few phone calls, was able to find the wrecking company that was actually doing the demolition and the remodel, and actually get my hands on all the old timber that was part of the seating there. But also during the conversation with the manager of the wrecking company, we actually discovered that they actually had a lot of the old MCC crested carpet as well. The MCC is the Melbourne Cricket Club, which is a very, very restricted,
very elite,
yeah, sort of membership club. Into. Yeah, it's like a 45-year or 50-year
something like that
waiting
list.
I
think it's like if one of the things about the Melbourne Cricket Club is simply that. I've heard stories about like fathers sign their sons up when they're born.
Yeah, on the birthday.
So as they can get in there like by the time they're old enough to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you're a Melbourne person, you're into either cricket or Aussie rules footy, it's the place to be or the membership you want to have. So it's very, very prestigious and very well known. And the carpet that actually used to lay in the old pavilion before it was demolished as well was ugly as hell. But it was
absolutely
very well known. The actual MCC logo was actually plastered all over this carpet, and it was very it was very well known. It's probably if I speak in English, it would help. It's very well known.
And the thing is, though, it's even though it is ugly as a hatful, but the whole thing is, it is well known, and a lot of history has happened on its floor.
Oh, especially you know the old cricket legends and stories they would have had about things that happen in the pavilion, in the dining room and things, which
a lot of memory in that trodden on carpet.
Exactly right. So I was able to get my hands on all of that and started to actually create a series of sporting memorabilia. Got a photo of the MCG, one little square of the carpet with a piece of the crest, a little plaque outlining the history of the G and what the actual piece of memorabilia represented, and turned them into a series of memorabilia pieces here in Australia and started selling them off. It was very, very profitable little venture.
One of the things, like, because, I mean, naturally we're having this conversation for the show and we've got our listeners listening in. From a business perspective, this is the reason why I've got Pete on. One, to plug his book because it's brilliant. But secondly, the way – now, guys, seriously, we've talked about marketing before. The podcast deals almost more with marketing than design, Pete. So I know you've listened to a few of the shows, but the thing that Pete did to break free of the herd, like we say on Think 2 Design, he utilised the media in a way that I've not seen. Like, this is a few years ago now. Pete's older and wiser and everything, but he was 21 at the time. Now, he utilised the media in such a unique way, and this is where I want you guys to start taking notes. Tell the story about how you started letting people know about your little venture.
Yeah, well, as you said, I was 21 at the time, so I didn't have a lot of cash behind me to put into the typical advertising that most people do. You know, the first thing most people would do when they have a business or a product to sell is start paying for advertising, you know, space on TV, space in magazines and newspapers. But I thought, nah, I'll do something different. I'll get the media on board. So I used the power of publicity, wrote a press release at the time, with the headline being 21-year-old sells the MCG for under $500. So it was a very, very unique headline, very direct, summed up pretty much what was going on, except it made the reporters question, 21-year-old sells the MCG.
Absolutely. It's like, it's almost ludicrous.
How does that work? And then the added kicker is for under $500.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a multi-million-dollar stadium. Why is it being sold? Why is a 21-year-old selling it?
By a 21-year-old.
For $500. This is just really weird. So it made the media really read on in the press release, and they just lapped it up. And in Australia here, I was just inundated with media, TV, radio, press, print, everything just covered this story. And that's what drove the majority of sales. Pushed people to the website we created and then just sold the frames from that. Hardly spent a cent on traditional advertising, which most people do when they launch a product.
The thing is, though, it works so staggeringly, I think, because you were having fun with it.
Absolutely.
And I think the media realized that too.
Exactly right. Well, it's a bit of a, it was a fun venture. It was aimed to be profitable, but all in all, I was doing my part time to actually earn some extra income. And that's actually what I kind of cover in the book too, is to start your million-dollar idea and get it off the ground and start your business or whatever it might be. You don't have to throw in the towel and do everything in your current job to go and start your business. You can do it in your part time with a bit of fun. And as it grows, you grow too.
Absolutely. The things that I enjoyed was the fact that, you know, you created limited editions. Like, not only was this thing like, guys, once this stand was ripped down, it was gone forever. And it's like, even though the idea was partly inspired by the bridging,
US.
The US scenario, yep. I think that it was still original. Like, it's like you got an idea and motivation, but the thing you were doing, it's just like, I'm sure there's examples around the world, but I've not heard of anyone else doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you think of something being pulled down, you go, what a shame. Pete's eyes light up and go, where the hell can I buy the stuff from?
Exactly right. Like, everyone loves the MCG. It's, you know, if Yankee Stadium got pulled down in New York, there'd be tears, there'd be furor, there'd be like, oh my God, we'll miss this. I wanted to try and really let the memory live on in people's homes around Australia. So try to save some of that timber and that carpet and the memory and allow people to buy it. And some of the stories I heard of when, you know, a lot of the sales I made were face-to-face and interacting with the clients. And some of the stories they told me, like, you know, old gentlemen saying, oh, I remember when I met such and such a cricketer or such and such a footballer on the carpet and in the members' dining room one day, and my grandfather signed me up on my birthday when I was younger. And some of the stories that I heard were just fantastic.
No, it's brilliant. And so one thing led to the other, and you found yourself being inundated with other people wanting to know that your success, how it all came to be. You started your company, Preneur Marketing. You
yep.
can find preneurmarketing.com.au. Or for those of you with trouble spelling like I often do, just go to petewilliams.com.au. But so you got your, you were doing that, but you really got the business up and running, and it's been a massive success for you, which is wonderful to hear. And now we've got the book. Now, how did the idea become the book, and what's the motivation behind the book?
Well, as you were saying, out of the simply selling the MCG venture that I undertook, I've got a few corporate speaking gigs and a few sort of consulting roles and stuff out of that in terms of helping other people turn their idea into reality. Everybody's had that idea, be it, you know, in the shower or walking on the beach or whatever it might be. They've had that idea for a business, but most people don't do anything about it. 6, 12, 18 months later, they go into a shop, they read a newspaper article and go, well, I thought of that, wish that could have been me, or that should have been me. And no one gets off their butt and actually does it. So that's sort of the angle of where the consulting work came and where the Preneur Marketing kind of came out of it in terms of coaching and helping and getting other people's ideas off the ground. And then from that, obviously, there was a lot of interest in requests and pushing, so to speak, to actually turn those ideas and the consulting tips into words and put them in a book. So the book came about early this year, and about 9 months later, it's been a long sort of birthing process, and finally it's out in stores.
So now you've got the book out, and it's out through Wright Books, which is an imprint of John Wiley & Sons Australia. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very exciting. One of Australia's biggest publishers are happy to sort of jump on board and endorse it, which is quite amazing. It's sort of come up really fast, and it's all just sort of happening now. It's in stores and basically there for the masses to actually enjoy. And it's been a phenomenal response so far. Like Brian Tracy, J. Conrad Livingston, Richard Koch, some of the biggest authors in the business marketing field around the world have really endorsed the book and jumped on board and seen value in it and actually really supported it, which is just amazing.
Absolutely. Well, it's well deserved. And the thing I like the best about the book, though, mate, is it's an easy read. You've broken everything up. It's well laid out. And from a design perspective also, it's pleasing to look at. Like, It's a very easy read. There's plenty of room if you want to, God forbid, write on the book. But
sorry to interrupt you. I actually think that's a credit to an author if you actually see a book that someone's read of yours with full of post-it notes and pen scribbles and highlights. I'll be impressed and I feel really proud that obviously you've written a good enough book that people want to actually make notes on as they're reading because it's that good. So,
speaking of taking notes, you were talking like before you said someone has an idea, then 18 months down the track they see it come to life. I guess it's the ultimate case, like you've pounced on the idea, you followed it through. And one thing I would say to people, and I say to all of our clients is, if you're the sort of person who's prone to get ideas, carry a little notebook around with you all the time.
Absolutely.
Those lightning bolts, they hit you and it's like, and they are lightning bolts, they bang and then they're gone and again.
Absolutely gone.
Scribble it down.
I have a dictaphone that I carry in my car.
Yeah.
Literally is it, and I have a pad and pen next to my bed at home, a pad and pen next to my girlfriend's house, which she kind of found quite weird when we first started dating, but that's another story. And but I literally carry a dictaphone around with me because I have these sparks of, I won't say brilliance because that sounds a bit too arrogant, but sparks of mediocre awareness brilliance. That I actually,
all do though, seriously. Yeah, absolutely. We all have good ideas.
Exactly. And the thing is, everyone has had a $1 million idea at least one a year, literally. But no one actually does anything about it. And it's not that hard. I think it's this big, scary thing to actually start a business. But if you actually really just take action, simple steps, follow a formula, which I sort of broken down outline in the book, you can really start a profitable business, even in your part time, and grow it with you. Some of the world's biggest inventions have just come as by accident or in part someone's part time.
Yeah, it's and share. I know it's an age where ideas get stolen and things get taken, and you know you've got to really protect those ideas. But one thing I noted is that it doesn't hurt to get a group of friends, or preferably people who will shoot ideas back at you or shoot your idea down in flames if it's no good. But
exactly,
I've got a friend. And he's a close friend and he's a really clever guy. And he comes up with ideas all the time. But he will never talk about them.
He's too scared.
But he doesn't follow up on them.
Mm. So that's just a loss. One of these things, if you're one of those people, there's plenty of people out there with marketing now so you can join venture with.
Exactly.
Sign an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement, and work out that sort of stuff. It's amazing like what you can actually get off the ground with a partner, with some friends. Like, don't be scared to share.
So, I mean, look, and that's exactly it. It's like I noted quite a few times during the process of the book, and that, like, we had a business group where we'd all get together and have a meal and all that sort of stuff and talk about what our problems were with our business.
I found some great value out of that. Absolutely. Well, that's actually how I got the book deal.
Yes.
One of the guys in the group that I sort of flagged one of the early stages of the proposal to and said, look, come on, guys, give me some feedback before I sort of go and pitch this to the big scary publishers. He took it and actually passed on himself, and I got the book deal out of a business group that I was in. So it's really the power of a mentoring group or a mastermind group is amazing, and I really, really endorse those. But you were saying before about you don't have to invent a goal either. Like, just as a side note, if you're wanting to start a business but don't have that inventiveness in you, you can still get businesses off the ground. Richard Branson is the absolute pinup boy of entrepreneurs, yet he hasn't invented a thing in his life. Virgin Blue, he wasn't the first he didn't invent the airplane. Virgin Records.
He tried to change his name to Wright, though, at some
point. Yeah, I'm sure he did. But like, think about, you know, Virgin Records, his student magazine, which he started, he's never invented a thing in his life. He's grabbed something that had a slight problem or had a bigger upside and reinvented it. That's the thing, you don't have to actually invent anything. Obviously, you're an IT guy, Bill Gates with Microsoft. Did he invent Microsoft or DOS even? He bought the license to somebody else. That's how DOS started. He actually bought the license to DOS off somebody and then went and spoke to IBM and did the joint venture to get it going. He didn't invent it.
Macs are better. Pete spouted all that stuff and I just come out with Macs are better.
Well, I'm a PC man, so hey.
Like the desk between us. Will agree with us. All right, well, look, is there anything else you want to cover? Because this is your showboat.
Not really. Just thank you for having me, mate, and hope you're enjoying the book, and everybody else who wants to get a copy, they're available on my website, which is petewilliams.com.au. It's the easy one to give you. Go on, if you buy it off my site, I'll happily sign a copy and ship it free anywhere in the world. So please order a copy and I'll send one to you. They're available in all good bookshops, but I make more money if you buy it directly from me.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
I might as well do the push.
Yeah, no, you absolutely may as well. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't go and get this book, whether you're in business, whether you're thinking about stuff to get into business. This is a book that will assist you at absolutely any stage of your career. So how much is the book again, please, Pete?
$29.95 Australian.
That's Australian.
Which I think is about 8 cents US, isn't it? With the conversion rate, with the US dollar, it's about 8 cents. I think it's the,
as a bit of a clause for myself, no, that's wrong. But it's certainly not a lot of money considering you're going to ship it all over the place signed to them.
Absolutely. Get one idea out of it. Like, this is my thing with books. Whether it's my book or any other books out there, if you get one idea out of the book, it's worth the investment 10 times.
Absolutely. I agree totally.
You were saying it to me earlier, actually.
Yeah, like a $20 book or whatever the case may be, $30 book. You get one. I read a book once by Seth Godin, The Big Red Fez, and I think it cost me $20 for the book or something like that. And a lot of it I already knew. I'm not saying that, you know, it's because I'm a know-it-all. It's just it's a small book.
Yep.
But I had one idea out of it that I turned into a $3,000 sale, paid for itself immediately.
What's that return on investment? It's just unbelievable.
So get reading How to Turn Your $1 Million Idea into a Reality from the man who sold the MCG himself, Pete Williams. Thank you.
Mate, Tori, really appreciate your time.
No worries. All right, folks, that wraps it up. Hope you enjoyed. Haven't done a show for a while. There will be more on the way more regularly. One thing I will say, I'm going to put Pete on the spot. I would like you to come back every now and then and give people marketing tips or general advice.
Mate, I'd absolutely love to. Be a pleasure.
There you go. So if you've got any questions for Pete or just marketing questions, I mean, we certainly can help you out. But it's always nice because I'm giving you the think to design opinion all the time. So if we can get Pete in on some of our marketing dilemmas that people send through, it will be a lot of fun.
Help them preneur their idea.
Or think it. This has been another Think to Design podcast. See you later.